Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakumullahu khair, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for our message of the Quran Tafsir series. This series is brought to you by Helping Hand, which has been a trusted partner of Qalam for many years now. They've served the people's needs around the globe since the year 2005. With a focus on international relief and development. Since its inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and lifted thousands out of poverty with a long-term assistance program. This Ramadan, Helping Hand is focusing on continuing to fight to eradicate hunger across the world with the hashtag #ShareYourPlate campaign. To learn more, go over to hhrd.org/Qalam, inshallah ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, I'm so happy to join you this afternoon, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to allow us to benefit from the blessed month of Ramadan and to nourish our soul. It's about connecting to Allah this month. It's about connecting to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's about making this Ramadan a Ramadan like no other Ramadan before by seizing the moment and connecting to Allah through the Quran and through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today I'm going to be reflecting on a few verses from the Juz, the 10th Juz, where we're at already. Subhanallah, we are one third of the way through this series. Subhanallah, that's an eye-opening moment for all of us. That tells us how fast Ramadan is really flying by. And so really take advantage of the time. Whatever small moments we get, we want to make sure that we take advantage of all of them, inshallah ta'ala. So today I'm going to be sharing and reflecting on some of the verses from the 10th Juz, focusing primarily on Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah is a very beautiful surah. It's the only surah in the Quran that doesn't begin with the words Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. If you open the Mus'haf and you look at it, you'll notice that right after Surah Anfal ends, the very next surah begins, which is Suratul Anfal. And for this reason, many scholars actually had the opinion that Surah At-Tawbah is a continuation of Suratul Anfal, and it's for that reason that there's no Bismillahirrahmanirrahim at the beginning. Some say because the actual beginning of the surah was all about the ending of this treaty that had been broken so many times by the polytheists of the Arabian Peninsula with the Muslims, that because the subject matter was about breaking the treaty, that this is the reason why. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best the exact reason why Bismillah is not there, but that is one of the aspects of the surah, that there is no Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim at the beginning of the surah. As I said, we're going to be reflecting on a few of the verses. So many paradigm shifting verses that we can look at, inshallah. The first verse I'm going to take a look at, inshallah ta'ala, is going to be verse number 25. Before I go into this verse, I'm going to actually read the verse first, and then we're going to do a little backdrop to the verse. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse number 24 of Surah Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبَنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. The verse says, say to the people, O Muhammad. Say to the people, O Muhammad. One thing that is very important is when you're studying the Quran, you really have to understand how deeply it connects to the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can't study the Quran without studying Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They go hand in hand. And so to truly understand the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us in any given verse, you literally need to have seerah right there with tafsir, with the Quran, informing you what were the circumstances behind every single verse that was revealed and what is it referring to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ, say, and that means address the people, say this to the people, إِنْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ, if your fathers, وَأَبَنَاءَكُمْ, your sons and daughters, وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ, your brothers, وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ, if your wives, وَأَشِيرَتُكُمْ, in your family. So all of these people in your life that are very close to you, and the Arabs were a very, very a tribal type of society. Family relationship was everything. I mean, if the last thing you broke was family relations. That was the most important thing in their society. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad, say to the people, if all of these family members, all right, let's put them to the side. What are we going to say about them? Then the verse continues, وَأَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا, and if all of your wealth which you have gathered, وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, and the businesses which you have started, for which you fear they'll go into loss, and وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, and the houses that you've built, that you love, that please you. If any of these things, if any of these things that we just mentioned, family, wealth, acquisition, the things that you have, if any of these things, look at the next, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ, are more beloved to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than your relationship with Allah and your relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not only that, not just believing in him, not just loving him more, but jihadin fi sabili, struggling in the way of the religion, struggling to do what Allah says to do, struggling to defend the religion, struggling to stand up for justice. If those things are more beloved to you than Allah, the Prophet, and struggling for Allah and the deen, then guess what Allah says? فَتَرَبَّصُوا, then just wait. فَتَرَبَّصُوا, just wait. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِي, until Allah brings His command. In وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love a people of transgression. It's a very powerful verse, because this verse speaks about prioritizing and having your correct priority of loves in your life. Brothers and sisters, we use love so easy nowadays. I mean, we say we love pizza, right? You know, we love samosas, we love biryani, we love steak, we love brisket. We use the word love so easy. And that's not a problem per se, if we're able to actually prioritize loves when there's a moment of conflict and competition between those things that we love. I love my family. I truly love my family. But what if my family is asking me to do something that goes against a higher love? Well, it's easy in that situation. Because I just said it's a higher love, I'm not going to sacrifice a higher love for a lower love. I love when people love the work that I do. I love that. But do I love that as much as I love the acceptance of Allah? By no means. So if at any moment those two seem to be competing, no competition whatsoever. No competition whatsoever. So this verse is saying the Prophet ﷺ is being told at a time. Now here's the deal. You have to understand the backdrop for this one. The backdrop is this. The Prophet ﷺ, when he did hijrah, there were a lot of people that did not do hijrah. There were people who stayed back in Mecca. They did not migrate. They did not migrate to Medina. The Prophet ﷺ had to leave Mecca because he was being forced out of the city. They didn't want him there. They didn't want his message there. He had to leave. The Muslims were being persecuted. They were getting out of there. The Prophet left. He went to Medina. He went to a new place, a place where Islam could be practiced. And slowly people were accepting Islam and people were entering into the fold of Islam. And when you became a Muslim, you should have came and been with the Muslims. You should have lived amongst the Muslims. You should have been in the community, not out on your own, not by yourself amongst the non-Muslims and not able to practice your religion openly and not able to. No, you should have been with the Muslims. But there were some people, they couldn't do it. They couldn't. And why? Allah tells us in this verse that when you're struggling for good, there are gonna come in your way things that are good in themselves, but they're not good if they're stopping you from Allah. They're not good if they're coming in between you and the most valuable relationship that any human being can have, and that's their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you're willing to sacrifice your relationship with Allah for people that will leave you one day or you will leave them, for money that will be divided up after you leave the world, and for houses that will be sold the moment you pass away, if you are willing to sacrifice your relationship with Allah for those things, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for loss. And that's why the Quran is a mercy. It's a mercy because it protects us from harm. So this verse is just beautiful. Let's read it one more time. O Muhammad, say to the people, if your parents, if your children, if your brothers, if your wives, if your family, if your wealth, which you have stored up, if your businesses, which you fear will go into loss, and if your houses, which please you, are more beloved to you than Allah and the Messenger and striving in the path of God, then just wait for the command of God to come. And that wait isn't like a good waiting. That's like when my mother used to say, wait till we get home, when I was acting up in the grocery store. Fatarabbasu, just wait. Just wait. Beautiful verse. It really allows us in the month of Ramadan to assess and reanalyze the priorities we have in life. Are there things in your life right now that are good, but they're becoming bad because they're becoming in between you and God, between you and Allah? I can say yes for myself. You have to ask yourself that question, and then you have to be honest about the reply that you hear. So if there are things that are good, family is good, wealth is good, house is good, all of these things were good things. Nothing in this list was a sin. Nothing. But because they were loved more than the deen. The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he once said, you know, a Bedouin, he came to Medina one time. And when he came to Medina, the Bedouins were interesting because they weren't city folk. They didn't know the manners of how to ask a question politely and how to do things the way that they didn't know those. They weren't cultured people, right? Quote unquote, I'm quote cultured people. And so they would come and they would ask questions off the cuff, right? They would just ask questions straight up. And the Sahaba who were always around the Prophet, they actually loved when they came because all the good, juicy questions would be asked and they didn't have to ask them. So a Bedouin once came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked him a deep question. He says, "Al-mar'u yuhibbu al-qawm wa lam yalhaqu bihim." A person loves some people, a group of people, but he can't be with them. He can't be with them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba." A man, a person, on the day of judgment will be with those who he loves. The Sahaba say that this was the happiest day, one of the happiest days in Medina. It's in the hadith. Because sometimes the actions aren't there to prove, to reach you to the level of the righteous people. But you love Allah, you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you love the deen, and that love is enough to put you in their company. That's why if you listen to some of my podcasts and lectures, you'll hear me make this dua almost every time, and you may be like, is this the only dua he knows? Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik. Oh Allah, give us your love. Give us the love of those who love you, and give us the love of those actions that will gain your love. The secret is love. Once we have that, then it becomes easy to sacrifice. Tahajjud becomes easy for us. Zakat becomes easy for us. Helping people becomes easy for us because for the love of God, you're doing it. And so it becomes easy. It's not even a sacrifice. It just makes sense for you. So this is the benefit of love, building, cultivating, growing love. And you know what? There's something interesting about love. From the Western perspective, we use passive language when we speak about love. We use very passive language. What do I mean? He fell in love. You know, he fell for him, or she fell for him, right? We use this concept of out of control, falling, as if it happens. Love is something you work on. Talk to any marriage counselor out there. Love doesn't happen. You don't sit back and wait for love to happen. No. You work on love. You build love. You grow love. You water a tree you want to grow. You water love the same way. You work on it. And so stop taking this approach of I'll fall in love and love will just happen to me. No, that's wrong. This straight up wrong. The language is setting you up to think about it wrong. Love isn't a passive thing. It's an active thing. You work for what you love. And we've all worked for things that we love. And it's time that we work for the love of Allah. That's all it comes down to. There are tons of things in your life that you love and you work to love those things. You built the love of those things in your life. And so don't ask where will the love come from passive, but rather focus on what you're going to do to make love happen. That's what we need to focus on. Building love, not waiting for it to spontaneously happen in our lives. That's not what love is all about. So this verse is all about love. This verse is all about building love. This verse is all about cultivating love and prioritizing your loves. Prioritizing your loves. That's what that's about. Let's look at the next verse. The very next verse. It talks about something completely different. And that's what I love about the Quran. The Quran is so unique because it doesn't have the typical prose of the Western literature style, from one thing nicely to the next paragraph. The Quran is just, it's just this one thing after the next. Allah is literally taking you from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And when you contemplate on it, you start to see the connection. But at first glance, you may not see the connection. Let's look at the next verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, لقد نصركم الله في مواطن كثيرة ويوم حنين إذ أعجبتكم كثرتكم فلم تغني عنكم شيئا وضاقت عليكم الأرض بما رحبت ثم وليتم مدبرين ثم أنزل الله سكينته على رسوله وعلى المؤمنين وأنزل جنودا لم تروها وَعَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ. This, again, you have to study the seerah in order to understand Quran. They are hand in hand connected. After the conquest of Mecca, after Fath Mecca, we call it the conquest of Mecca. This is the pinnacle moment in seerah where the Prophet ﷺ enters into Mecca after being rejected for over 10 years out of Medina, out of Mecca. He comes back conquering Medina, if we can even use the word conqueror. But he comes back conquering, opening up Medina. This is the conquest of Medina, of Mecca, sorry. And as the Prophet conquered Mecca, many people now started to enter into the fold of Islam. They now saw clear that this wasn't a temporary thing. This wasn't something that wasn't going to go away. There were many people on the sidelines waiting to see what would happen before they accepted Islam. Now that there is a lesson for all of us in and of itself. There were some people who believed back at the time of Abu Bakr when we were weak and we had nothing. And then there's people who wait until it's already established to say, oh, we're going to roll with that now. And that's what happened with a lot of people. They waited to see if the Prophet was going to be victorious, and then we'll join. Now, after the conquest of Mecca, there were some neighboring cities and tribes that were still at war with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he set out towards Thaqif and Hunayn, two neighboring cities, two neighboring areas. And as the Prophet sets out to go, alayhi salatu wasalam, a lot of the new Muslims, a lot of new Muslims were like, yeah, we're going to go with you this time. Okay. Now you also had a lot of people who were what I would call OGs from the old school, from the old days. They were there from Badr days, mashallah. They were there, but there were a lot of new people. A lot of new people. And their numbers, the size of this army was massive for that time. They had never, this was the biggest army they ever had, the Muslims ever had. And so they're marching to this next place to confront this other enemy. And as they're marching, they're looking around at their numbers. They're looking around at their numbers. They're looking at themselves in the mirror and they're feeling really proud about themselves. إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. They were impressed by their own numbers. Islam never prospered based on material numbers and physical means. The way Islam is successful is there's a quwa or a strength, ruhani, a spiritual strength. That is the secret of the Muslim. That is the secret of David and Goliath, Dawood, Jalud. There's a spiritual strength that is completely detached, has nothing to do with the physical means. And this is something that we need to understand as political activists. We need to understand more than ever. It's not about the material if the heart isn't sound. Yes, after the heart is sound, focus on the material. No doubt, I'm with you. But if the hearts are messed up, if the hearts are away from the deen, if the hearts are filled with all types of spiritual sicknesses, it doesn't matter how much material means you accumulate. It doesn't benefit. That's what this verse is saying. So what happened? إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. You were proud about yourself. And this is another lesson. Vanity is a destructive spiritual vice. Vanity, obsessed with your own image, how you look, obsessed with your own self. And in an individualistic society, subhanAllah, everyone has a stage, you know? Everyone has their own stage to post and show themselves and then see themselves. But vanity is dangerous. And narcissism, the narcissism that we have in our community, and I'm talking even amongst the Muslims, especially, I should say, not even amongst, especially amongst the Muslims, where it's just all about me. Let me show the next picture of me, the next picture of me, the next picture of me, subhanAllah. It seems like all you think about is yourself, subhanAllah. Narcissism is very dangerous. So this verse talks about ujub, vanity and narcissism. Now this Muslim army had that problem. Very large, very strong, massive. But the heart was sick. The heart was sick. So what happened? Allah says, in brief words, فَلَمْ تُغْنِي أَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. Your numbers had no benefit. What happened? Well, the seerah teaches us that as they approached to fight the tribe of Hawazin, they were ambushed. And the moment they were ambushed, all of those new people tagging along, they fled instantaneously right away. The Prophet ﷺ stands right in the valley, in the face of the enemy, arrows flying at him, with courage like none other. And he's shouting, I am a prophet, this is not a lie. I am a prophet, this is not a lie. The Prophet didn't move. Some Sahaba stayed with him. And he begins to have, you know, one of the Sahaba who had a very loud voice, Abu Sufyan, he had him call them back to me, call everyone back. Because everyone, when the ambush happened, they got so scared. He's just, fight or flight. And they went away. So when they heard the call, they all woke up for a moment. Like, wait, what are we doing? Why are we running? And they all came back. And then what happens next? Allah says, despite the vastness of the earth felt small. You felt restricted. We were pushed down into small quarters. And everyone ran away. Everyone ran away. Not everyone. Then Allah calmed, sent down peace upon the hearts. Everyone got their thinking back. They were able to collect themselves. And what are we doing? Let's go back. They fought. They were victorious. They were strong. They pushed through. But the lesson in this verse, brothers and sisters, is we got to watch out for the vanity and the narcissism. We got to check our hearts. We got to really check our hearts and make sure that we're not constantly just focused on our own appearance, our own selves. We need to cultivate selflessness within ourselves. Selflessness within ourselves. That is how you progress. And that's one of my biggest, the biggest gripe I have with social media. I know there's so much good on it, but on an individual level, the level of vanity and narcissism that it shows and it encourages. Maybe there's good, but maybe the evil of it may be worse than the good. Allah knows best. And only time will tell. Let's take a look at one or two more verses, inshallah ta'ala. I want to look at verse number 80. Verse number 80 really embodies the forbearance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So again, I'm going to reiterate this theme over and over again. You can't study Quran without seerah. You can't study the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was revealed on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam without learning about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to. So let's take a look at this verse. Allah says, "Istaghfir lahum aw la tastaghfir lahum." إِن تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ سَبَعِينَ مَرَّةً فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْتِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah says to the Prophet, عليه السلام, if you seek forgiveness for them, or you don't seek forgiveness for them, it doesn't matter. If you seek forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive these people. It is because they disbelieved in Allah and the Messenger, and Allah does not guide. Allah does not guide. Allah does not guide people who go off the track. What's the backdrop? What's the story? In Medina, there were a lot of people who didn't like Islam at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but they became Muslim. They didn't think the Muslims would be victorious, but we can't swim upstream. Let's swim downstream. Let's become a Muslim. But they don't believe at all. Inside is hollow. Kokla. It's nothing. It's empty inside. The Prophet ﷺ, he went through a lot of difficulty with these type of people. At every opportunity, they found fault in him. They picked on him. They mocked him. They joked with other Muslims. They did whatever they could to just be haters. Just be haters. The leader of them was a man by the name of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul. He's the leader of this group of people who just became Muslim. Don't believe in Islam at all. Just became Muslim outwardly. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul, he was on his deathbed. This is later in the seerah. He was on his deathbed. And this was after years of going against the Prophet ﷺ, but being a Muslim at the same time. And he was on his deathbed for about 20 some odd days. And the Prophet ﷺ every single day would go and visit him. Who is this man? This is literally the man who was a staunch enemy of the Rasul. And there's no other way to look at who he was. The Prophet ﷺ would go and spend time with him. He'd be with him. And, you know, he would still say things despite the situation he's in. He's passing away, but he's still a hater. Cool. He passes away. And his son, who is a sincere Muslim, he goes to the Prophet ﷺ and he informs him. He says, my father has now passed away. Ya Rasulullah, I was wondering, could you give him a shirt? Could you give him a shirt that you wore that I could use as his shroud? Why? I mean, for the barakah of the Prophet ﷺ, the blessing of a prophet of God, the clothes that they wore. So the Prophet ﷺ, he does it. He says, yes, of course. And not only that, you know, after you wash his body, bring his body, and I'll even pray on him. I'll pray for him. I'll pray for him. And so the narration goes that his son asked the Prophet ﷺ to pray on him. And so the Prophet stood up to do that. When he was about to start the prayer, Umar ibn Khattab comes and stands in front of the Prophet. Umar radiallahu an. He stands in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, do you pray for this enemy of Allah? Are you going to pray for this man who was an enemy of the religion his whole life? Even though Allah has forbidden you to do so? And he went on and said, he did this to you. He said this to you on that day. He said this to you on that day. He said this to you. He's mentioning everything that Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul has done. And the list is long. It's not a small list. And the narration says, while he's saying all this, the Prophet is smiling. As he mentions everything, the Prophet is smiling. Umar kept going until he went too far. The narration says he went too far. The Prophet said, okay, Umar, now step aside. Move over, please. Please move over. Move over. And when he did this, the Prophet said, I was given the choice in this verse we just read. I was given the choice that I can seek forgiveness or not seek forgiveness. I'm going to seek forgiveness. And if 70 times is not accepted, then I'll do more than 70. I'll do more than 70. I'll do more than 70. And so he did. In life, we're going to deal with a lot of people that don't want to see us move forward. Don't become the hate that they embody. You know, I see people that are doing great work, but I'm scared of becoming the hate that is embodied by other people that want to hate against the work. I hope that makes sense to everyone. You're going to always have haters. Don't hate the hater. Don't do that. Because then you become hate and you become defined by your hate. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Don't let your animosity or dislike for a group of people force you from being just. You keep your morals. You keep your principles. Don't become that. The Prophet ﷺ is in front of a man who's passed away. And he was patient with this man for his whole life. Sure. I mean, there's no higher level. He pretends to be on your side, but he literally is trying to sabotage everything you do. And the Prophet ﷺ prays with him. The Prophet ﷺ is helping him, prays for him. I ask yourself, is that something that we see in our community today? We won't even send our kids to the same school as that other person. We won't even send our kids to the same, nah, that dude's over there. Nah. You can't go to that school. But what do you mean? He ain't a teacher. Yeah, but his kids go there. Wow, subhanAllah, you got that much hate in your heart, bro? Better check that, man. And I hate to sound, harsh, but it's become a major sickness, man. Stop hating. And just because other people have done evil, done wrong, you got to raise the bar to a higher level. And that is what the Prophet ﷺ has taught us. That's sunnah. That's seerah. That's seerah right there. These are just a few verses, brothers and sisters, from this beautiful surah of the Quran. I hope that this reflection of the message of the Quran session was beneficial for you, and I hope it helped us connect to just a few verses of the Quran. Before I go, my advice to you guys and myself is, as you connect to the Quran, connect to the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ as well, the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. These are the lights by which we walk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our Ramadan. May Allah accept it from us, inshallah ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.